I'm told we're going to start tonight with a film that James Bond and Luke Savisky insist we must show, a Kodachrome film shot at the World's Fair. Is that correct? Not first? Second. Okay. Then we're going to start with a film with a really interesting past, another film by a filmmaker who we've seen a bit of already, another Tannhauser film. So this will be introduced by Bucky Grimm. The paper handout you got is about this Indotropische Zee, if I continue to speak Dutch as poorly as I have in the past. Yeah. And we'll have live piano by Christopher Nash. But first, Bucky and perhaps Nico will introduce this briefly. Bucky Grimm.
Thank you very much. Basically, what this is the Netherlands Film Museum's Indotropische Zee, which literally translated in English is Under the Sea. This is a film basically of the Williamson Brothers, what was called the Williamson Brothers Expedition from 1914, and it was shot, written, and directed by Carl Lewis Gregory. In 1912, Captain Charles Williamson of Norfolk, Virginia, invented what he called a submarine tube, which looked very much like a later day diving bell. He used this with it was about 5 feet in diameter, a steel sphere that was towed with a barge and dropped over the sea. And he was planning to use it as for salvage operations. He had two sons, Ernest and George, and Ernest was working as a cartoonist and a newspaperman for the Virginia Pilot newspaper. He had heard of various people trying to take photographs under the sea, so he felt his father's invention would accomplish this. He borrowed a camera in June of 1913, took it out to the Chesapeake Bay, and took a few still photographs of, which still do exist, one of a croaker fish and a couple little other bits of marine life. They brought these back, were very excited by the quality of what they brought back, and because I guess they were a little bit off the wall, they decided they could do motion pictures undersea. So they tried to find financing, which they initially couldn't. They approached their city copy editor, a guy by the name of Keyville Glennon. Mr. Glennon couldn't finance them, but what he did is in the June 22nd, 1913 issue of the Virginia Pilot, he had an article in a special supplement place that was called Submarine Movies to Reveal Wonders of the Deep. And in this little supplement, it contained some of the photographs they took. Later that year, there was an exposition in New York City for motion pictures. And luckily, C.J. Hyatt of the Tannhauser Corporation was there and caught wind of these photographs and became very interested. He approached the Williamsons, and he mentioned to them that he would be willing to finance and assist in distribution under two conditions. One, that he gets to use some of the footage for his own productions, and two, that they would use a professional cameraman, his cameraman, Carl Lewis Gregory. This was agreed upon, and shortly thereafter, a submarine film corporation was formed with the principal stockholder, C.J. Hyatt, and the two Williamson brothers as the other stockholders. In early 1914, Carl Gregory and the Williamsons went by boat, ended up in Nassau, the Bahamas, where they decided to shoot this film. They did this because of the clarity of the water, the coral. They thought this would give them the best motion pictures. Most of this footage is shot in around Nassau Harbor, Waitling Island, and some locales like that. If you look at your little handout, which you probably can't see too well in the dark, but there was kind of an animated view of what this device looked like. It was basically this 5-foot steel tube with a collapsible tube that was between a barge, and you gained access to this tube through this barge. Air was pumped in, and access was gained, as I said. It had a cone-like device at the end, which contained a 5-foot in diameter piece of optical German glass, an inch and a half thick, and contained some smaller pieces of glass closer to the bulkhead. When they went to the harbor, they went down to a depth of about 30 feet. It's where they shot this. It was originally brought back And a preview showing was held at the Smithsonian Institution in early July of 1914, where it was received very well. The first public showing seems to have taken place July 22, 1914, at the North American Theater in New Rochelle, New York. What you're going to see now is what is left. This was originally a five-reel picture. I think it's about 13 minutes, something like that. So there are, I've bored some people with the copyright stills that I have. There is quite a lot of detail that will be missing. There was shots of the harbor, shots of locals, shots of the sponge industry that are all missing from what's left. You're going to see a very small portion. It contains some of the above ground shots and the very small snippet of the underwater footage, so it's tantalizingly brief. Again, this is the 1914 version. It was recut many times under many titles, so we'll get ready to show it. We're lucky to have the world-renowned Christopher Nash to play with it. The intertitles are in Dutch, and through the kindness of Nico de Klerk, he's going to translate for us. Thank you very much.
In the tropical seas, a sawfish is being harpooned. Note the jet from its pointed snout. The teeth of its bony snout. A newborn turtle. Thank you. the same turtle half an hour later. A few dozen of these little fellows. A native successfully dives for a turtle. The blockhead weighs 150 pounds. Underwater with the devourers of men, sharks. The bait is lowered to attract the sharks. A shark's fins can be seen from a distance. As soon as he spots the shark, the native dives into the water for the fight. Initially, this dangerous attempt fails. Two other sharks approach. Because the native fails to kill the sharks in front of the camera, Mr. Williamson jumps into the water to defeat the ocean tiger. The shark is lured in front of the photosphere. The bait in which a foot-long hook is hidden. A shark is being harpooned. The monster's rage when it is brought to the surface. A 400-pound shark is hoisted aboard. The monster's mouth. One can see six rows of hooked, razor-sharp teeth. The end. As far as we know, this is the only extant footage of this five-reel, originally five-reel film. The Film Museum, of course, would be happy if people would know more about other extant footage, but I know it would make Bucky Grimm and Ned Tenhauser ecstatic to know. Thank you.
One quick word about the world-famous Christopher Nash. He's an undergraduate here at the University of South Carolina School of Music, so a big hand for him. He did this on very short notice. Thank you, Christopher.